This is HPR episode 2134 entitled, Shutdown Sequence System D. It is hosted by Klaatu and is about 15 minutes long. The summary is, Klaatu demonstrates how to sequence System D shutdown processes.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Howdy folks, this is 5150. If you're going to attend the Ohio Linux Fest this weekend, October 7th through 8th, be sure to seek out the Linux Podcasters booth. It is a collaboration between Hacker Public Radio, the Podnuts Network, Kernel Panic Oddcast, Linux Lugcast, and your other favorite shows. Joe Hecht of the New Single Board Computer and Virtual Private Server Show is graciously providing swag in the form of mugs, stickers, and t-shirts. And I am bringing an unworn t-shirt from Kansas Linux Fest 2015, inaugural year. It's going to be first come, first serve, under the desk, so you're going to have to ask for it, and some stickers. And we'd love to meet all our fans in Columbus. See you there.
You are listening to Hacker Public Radio. My name is Klaatu. We're going to talk about systemd and script order. So systemd, as you know, manages the startup and the shutdown of most distributions that are being released right now, I would say. And by most, I mean the bulk of the major distributions. Fedora / CentOS / Red Hat, Debian, and I think SUSE, and I think Arch by default. By default, everything's by default. So systemd is something that you encounter if you're messing around with how your computer starts or shuts down. And I did most of this because of some Raspberry Pi projects that I've been working on. I wanted the Raspberry Pi to start up particularly quickly. So I pruned a lot of the startup services out because I didn't need half of them. I was kind of treating the Raspberry Pi as an Arduino. You know, it's kind of an embedded system rather than a computer. And then I also needed the Raspberry Pi to launch a custom daemon that I had written in Python. So I had to write a startup script for that to happen, which turned out to be really, really easy. So I started getting familiar with it on the Pi, and then on a CentOS server that I manage, systemd is there as well, CentOS 7.2. So got familiar with it there as well. And it came up in a forum online that someone was trying to make a systemd, sort of set up a systemd scheme where a very particular service executed before the shutdown service. This was obviously not on a server. Well, not obviously, it wasn't. So the thing about systemd is, one of the big features of systemd is that all of its startup services and scripts, they run in parallel. And that's why you've got the ostensibly faster boot up time or faster shutdown time. Time is a little bit different for systemd. You don't tell systemd to run A and then B and then C. What systemd does is that it runs A, B, and C all at once, but it does not allow C to complete until B has signaled that it has been completed, and B won't complete until A has been successful. I mean, assuming they're dependent upon each other, assuming A, B, and C are dependent, that you've defined them as dependent upon one another, then yeah, that's how it would be. C wouldn't complete until it got an exit zero from B, and B wouldn't complete until it got a return zero from A, exit zero, return zero, whatever. And that's how systemd sees things. So it sees everything as happening at once, but things not completing until some condition is met. That made sense. Okay, so here's the sort of proof of concept. I've run this kind of scheme on CentOS 7.2, so you can follow along if you want to. the proof of concept we'll do will require about 4 different files. We'll need 2 service files and 2 shell scripts. It'll be pretty simple, and you can do this. You can do this at home safely. It's not going to be destructive at all. So we'll make a new file. We'll make a temporary sort of fake shutdown file, because we don't actually want to shut the computer down just to test this process. And we'll call it fake halt. And fake halt dot service, actually, will go in /lib/systemd/system/fakehalt.service. And in a service file, there are different blocks or stanzas, the first one being unit. So square bracket unit with a capital U, close square bracket. Description equals fake halt service. That's just a human readable comment that you'll see in your dmessage log. And then we need to tell it explicitly what service we want it to run after, that is going to depend upon. So we'll say after equals fake dot service and requires equals fake dot service. So that's really important, because it's saying that this service should not run until fake dot service has been found and has been run. And furthermore, it should not complete. It requires fake dot service to be successful in order for this service, this fake halt service, to actually go ahead. So that's kind of that's the meat of this system, of getting fake halt to run after fake dot service. You need the after and the requires. The next block is the service block, and that'll be a square bracket service with a capital S, close square bracket, and then we'll give it a type of simple. So type equals simple. I forget what that's opposed to. You can look it up online. There's a couple of different types, but we just need this to be a simple service. It's not anything that be forked or anything like that. It's just a simple one-time service. Exec start equals /user/usr/local/bin/fakehalt.sh. So that's what this service actually executes when it gets triggered, is this new script that we'll create together in /usr/local/bin/fakehalt.sh. Now that will actually fail to actually, that won't happen until fake.service succeeds. So since we know that's going to fail, we expect it to fail. So we need to give it another exec line called exec reload. And for the exec reload, we'll give it the same path. So exec reload equals /usr/local/bin/fakehalt.sh. And that one eventually will succeed. So essentially we're kind of brute forcing the service. We're just saying, we know that you're going to try to launch this service from the moment we tell you to launch the service, but we want you to fail until you get a successful signal from fake.service. And that's all there is to that. This is our temporary pretend shutdown service. Like this would be the thing that we want to happen at the very end of our chain. Now let's create the script that we want to execute before shutdown happens. So this would be the reason we're doing this at all. And we'll call this fake.service, and we'll stash that in /lib/systemd/system/fake.service. This is an even simpler script or service file. The unit block is description equals, a fake service. And then before equals fake halt.service. So we're just telling it, you're going to run before fake halt.service happens. And then in the service block, we give it a type of simple again. So type equals simple. And then exec start equals /usr/local/bin/fake.sh. So there you go. That's all technically that's required to get service A to run before service B, where fake halt is B and fake A is fake. Service A is fake.sh. So to create a script now that will run when these two things occur, the first one will be our fake halt script. So that is /usr/local/bin/fakehalt.sh. So we give it a headline /#!/bin/sh, and we'll tell it to sleep for 3 seconds, and then we'll do a cat /temp/fake.test, and we redirect that to /temp/halt fake.test. All right, so now you're probably scratching your head because you're like, well, what's /temp/fake.test? That's not a file. That doesn't exist. Well, that's exactly the point, my friend. What should happen here is that if we ran fake halt.service, it should fail because there is no /temp/vmfake.test yet. So we've just set up this script for failure. So now let's set it up for success. And that will be our fake.sh. So in /usr/local/bin/fake.sh, do a shebang /bin/sh. And we'll do test equals quote 1, close quote, and then we'll sleep 21. And then if square bracket x quote $test close quote equals quote x1 close quote close square bracket semicolon, then echo quote success close quote, redirect that to /temp/fake.test, exit 0, else exit 1, and then close the if block fi. So here's what we're doing. For 3 seconds, fakehalt.sh will sleep, and then it will attempt to cat the contents of a non-existent file to a new file. And it'll do that 7 times, because for 21 seconds, our fake.sh is sleeping. Once it has slept for 21 seconds, it will then create that file. It'll just say success. That'll be the only text in the file, and that file will be located at /temp/fake.test, and then that service will exit with a signal 0. At that point, our fake halt.sh will detect that file, you know, it'll look for that file again, it will find that file, it will cat the contents of that file into our new file, and then the whole process is complete. And you can test that simply by doing a systemctl /start/fake halt. Well, you should chmod all those scripts as executable first, but do that, and you should find that for 21 seconds, fakehalt.service is an active service. It'll just kind of, like, if you do a systemctl status fake halt, it will show it as an active service for 21 seconds. Even though it's only a 3 second long service, it'll be active for 21 seconds. And then at the end of those 21 seconds, it'll go away. And if you look in your /temp directory, you should see a halt fake.test file and a fake.test file. And I don't remember what the timestamps are going to tell you. I don't recall what, you know, how granular that is. I guess if you really worked hard at it, you could probably figure something out. Running the date command within a shell script that is being run by systemd is a little bit wonky, because I believe that the date will get resolved successfully first, and then the script sort of will hang, and then when the script actually succeeds, it's still using that old variable from your timestamp. So I think that hard coding a timestamp in there is a little bit weird, but certainly the non-existence of a file and then the existence of a file ought to be proof enough. So that's the proof of concept. That's the theory. Like I say, I've used this on a couple of things with a CentOS server, and it seems to work pretty well for me. The person in the forum who sort of triggered this response couldn't get it to work, but the use case was very unique to what my use case is. So I don't know if that's just the user not doing it right, or if it's just the fact that the use cases were so unique from one another. I think it's good to know about, at least, because certainly it can be frustrating if you're used to sort of scripting by hand and then sort of coming up with the order by hand. That might get a little bit annoying at some point. Yeah, it's not too bad. It works. You just have to kind of understand the logic behind what systemd is actually doing. And I think the key is to keep in mind that everything pretty much gets executed the moment you tell it. You know, the moment you say fake halt.service, because they're dependent upon one another, or because in real life the targets, they're all members of the same target. They're going to get, they all get sort of called up at the same time, and then they kind of sort themselves out. But if you're writing this stuff, then you need to know how to define dependencies yourself so that things can be sorted properly. So I hope that's informative. Thank you for listening, and I will talk to you next time.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.